Hello, I'm Rosie Perez, and you're listening to Food Fridays with Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org.
This is our last Food Friday show before Thanksgiving, and if you're cooking this year, you may have a plan of action all written out, or if you're like most people, you may be starting to panic. So we have called in some expert help. New York Times dining columnist Melissa Clark joins me now with tips on cooking turkey, stuffing, gravy, pies, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll also be talking about what you can make ahead of time and what to cook on Thanksgiving Day. I'm very pleased to welcome Melissa back to our show today. And by the way, you can always follow her on Twitter, where her handle is @goodappetite. If you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner this year and have any questions, you can give us a call here at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page or find us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is @LeonardLopate. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
It's just 6 days away.
Only six? Oh, my gosh. No, I'm panicking. No.
What should cooks be doing now? Should they be doing anything? Is it too early to go on a big food shopping trip?
No, not at all. People should be starting, at least, like you said, to make the lists. The lists are the lifeblood of, you know, your Thanksgiving planning. And that way, it's very satisfying to cross something off. But the first thing is, if you haven't ordered your turkey, order your turkey right now. It might even be too late for some places, but I'm sure you'll find one. There are plenty of them out there. So order your turkey. And if you can... If you're going to end up with a frozen turkey, you actually need to get that into your house over the weekend and start defrosting it, because that's one of those things that people always forget, that a frozen turkey takes 24 hours for every 4 pounds.
You can't just put the frozen turkey in the oven and slow cook it?
Oh, my God. I have a feeling that that might actually kill you if you did that. It's definitely not recommended. You really want to make sure the bird is fully thawed before it goes in the oven so that bacteria don't grow, blah, blah, blah. But it's another thing is, if you're going to do that, you might as well season your turkey at the same time that you start defrosting it. And this is something which I know that I'm doing this year. It's a dry brine. It's a salt rub. And you can do this on your frozen turkey. You can do this on your fresh turkey. All you do basically is salt and pepper it in the cavity, all over it, put it in the fridge for a few days, and it absorbs the seasonings, and it really adds a lot of flavor, and it also helps lock in moisture. So I recommend that to people who are starting their Thanksgiving planning over the weekend.
So we don't have to do it a wet brine anymore?
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, you could. If you love your wet brine, by all means, do your wet brine. I'm not saying that this is better. I'm just saying it's a lot easier.
Well, what happens if you have a kosher turkey which has already been salted?
You know, this is interesting. I have never tried to brine a kosher turkey. Have you ever tried to do that?
I thought it was already brined.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was always told. And so I always say, oh, don't brine it. It's already been brined. Just season it right before it goes in the oven. Or you can even season it ahead if you want to add herbs or garlic or aromatics. But somebody said to me on Twitter today that she always dry brines her kosher turkey, and it's delicious. So I could be wrong. If you've had experience with this, please call us or send us something on Twitter and let us know, because I'm very curious. I might have to experiment for next year.
Well, we have got a whole weekend in front of us. Is there anything that cooks can be making in the next few days for Thursday's meal?
Yes, pie dough. Pie dough, you can make it now, and you can just put it in the refrigerator. You don't even have to freeze it at this point. It will last. Your best bet, I think the optimal day to make your pie dough is Sunday or Monday, but if you make it today, that's fine too. So you can make that ahead. You can make your cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce is going to be fine. So go ahead and make that right now if you have your cranberries and you're in the mood. Other things that you can do ahead, so you've got your turkey brining. You can, if you're going to use fresh pumpkin, and you know everyone should know, I recommend acorn squash or winter squash or butternut squash instead of using a real pumpkin. Do the puree right now. You can put it in the oven. You want to roast your winter squash. You want to scoop it out and puree it and just put that in the fridge, and that'll be fine until you bake your pie. Most people bake their pies the day before. I recommend baking your pie on Wednesday night, and so it'll be fine until Wednesday.
Now, what about that cranberry relish? There are two schools of thought. You either do them raw or you do them cooked.
That's a very good point. Don't do your raw one now. It's too early for your raw relish.
I'm always tempted to try the raw, and then I chicken out and I cook it. I also like the texture of a cooked cranberry relish.
You know, we actually do both, because some of us like the raw and some of us like the cooked.
So what's the big difference?
The texture. You're right. The cooked one has that sort of jellied texture. I mean, that's what you want. You want the pectin in the cranberries just makes the whole thing gel up like a Jell-O mold. It's very firm. It's sweet. It tastes like jam. It's great. But the raw one is snappy, and it's got a crunchy texture, and it has a lot of more acidity. It's brighter. So it's nice to have both. You want something to just break up all those rich flavors on your holiday table.
Well, I usually include a whole orange in my relish. So I'm already getting a lot of acidity on top of the cranberry acidity.
Exactly, which is nice, too. You can make, I mean, you can also, if you want a more acidic jellied product, just use less sugar.
The mother of a friend cooks the turkey breasts ahead of time, carves them, then freezes them, and she makes the gravy base and freezes that.
Ah!
And then on Thanksgiving, she heats it all up, and no one seems to notice the difference.
Really? Oh, my. Well,
I always thought freezing cooked meat does affect the taste.
It really affects
They say it's really juicy.
They do. They say it's juicy. Well, maybe she freezes it in a sous vide or something, or has a special technique, because whenever I've frozen turkey, when I've defrosted it, it's dry. I mean, it's fine if you're going to put it in soup, or to freeze turkey soup is fine. But if you want to have a nice, juicy, moist turkey breast, I would not freeze it. You could cook it ahead, though. I mean, that is an interesting technique.
Now, as we know, the readers of the New York Times know, you have been cooking a whole bunch of turkeys as part of your job at the Times. Have you found any helpful hints in the six birds that you've already cooked this year?
Yeah, the most helpful hints, really, the less you do to your bird, it's easier for you, and the bird is going to taste just as good as if you'd sweated and labored over it. I mean, I find unbasted, so don't open the oven and baste your turkey. Don't truss your turkey. Don't stuff your turkey. Salt and pepper your turkey. If you can do that ahead, great. But even if you can't, just salt and pepper it a couple of hours before while the oven is preheating, and just put it in the oven, and it will be fine. It will be just as delicious.
Have you ever deep fried a turkey?
Oh, my gosh. That's my big dream. That is something that I'm afraid to do that. I'm a little afraid.
A friend did it and said it was fabulous, but it was so much trouble and so messy, he'll never do it again.
Well, I've seen people do it. I've been at places where they have done it. I have witnessed it, but I've never done it myself. And it does look like, I mean, it's an undertaking. But I know people swear by it. I think I'd be more comfortable doing it if I cut the turkey into parts first. But then you don't have that wonderful moment of having this beautiful turkey and having everybody gather around while you carve it.
My guest is Melissa Clark. You read her in the New York Times. She also has a lot of cookbooks. And we're talking about turkey and Thanksgiving in general in advance of the holiday coming up next Thursday. And we invite your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And let's take a call from Anne from White Plains. Hi, Anne. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, Anne.
Leonard, thank you for taking my call. I love your show. And this is very timely. I am panicking. My daughter is going to a Thanksgiving party, and she has been asked to make a turkey breast. And I'm wondering whether we can make it the day before and whether it can be transported on the day of Thanksgiving about an hour away. Is that safe?
Oh, safety-wise, you're fine. Absolutely. As long as it's cooked through and you want you to hit your magic number of 165, that is when your turkey, you know, it is all safe. So when you're roasting your breast, are you going to roast or braise it? What's your game plan?
I'm going to roast it. Do I have to cover it?
No, you don't. Not if you just make sure that you put some oil or a little melted butter on the skin, but you don't have to cover it and you'll get a nice crisp skin. You can make it ahead. That's fine. I wouldn't try to serve it warm, though. I would just say, you know what? This is going to be room temperature, because room temperature turkey breast, especially, I mean, imagine a turkey sandwich. It's delicious. So make it ahead. Then just pull it out of you have an hour car drive, so pull it out of the fridge right before you leave. And then when you drive there, by the time you get there, it's going to be in great shape. Are you serving it with anything, a little cranberry sauce, or someone else is going to make that?
I think everybody's making different things.
Okay, perfect. So then, yeah, you can absolutely make that the day before.
Thank you so much for your call. You suggest cooking the turkey on a higher temperature for the first half hour.
Yes, to get the skin nice and brown, and then lower it so that it cooks evenly. If you did the whole turkey at a very high temperature, it would start to dry out a little bit on the edges, especially the breast, before everything else cooked through. So you want that even heat, but you also want that nice, dark, beautiful skin.
A listener, Susan from Yorktown, has written in to ask whether she should alter her roasting time because she's cooking a locally raised heritage breed.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, they have smaller breasts.
They do, which is great because that gives you more dark meat. So if you love dark meat, they have nice big legs, which I personally, that's my favorite part, aside from the neck. No, you don't have to alter the cooking time, at least not by much. I mean, the thing about turkeys is the heat of your oven and the way your oven works is going to determine how long to roast your turkey, but also how cold the bird is when it goes into the oven is a big factor. Are you taking it right out of the fridge and so it's very cold, or have you let it come to room temperature? I advise people to let it come to room temperature. So those are the factors. Just watch it carefully. Again, you're looking for that 165 degree number. I would just keep checking it and don't worry too much about it. It's not going to be that big a difference.
Even before, there's that whole matter of wrestling the turkey into the sink to wash it after you've taken it out of the bag.
Do you do that?
Well,
do you wash it?
I don't either. Because I just, even before, I read recently that you shouldn't wash a chicken, which I used to do.
Yeah.
Because that spreads germs.
Exactly.
I just assumed the turkey was going to be in the oven for such a long time that any germs that were there would have been roasted along with the turkey.
Exactly. And, you know, when you're cooking your turkey to 165, the surface is going to be even hotter than that. That's where you're going to be, all the bacteria is going to cook off. It's all going to be fine. So you really, if you're going to rinse your turkey, first of all, it is hard to manage. It's awkward. And also, if there is any bacteria on it, you will be spreading it all over your sink. So don't roast your turkey. Pat it dry and then rub it with seasonings.
A listener asked, what about butterflying your turkey? Does taking the backbone out have any advantages? Because people do that with a chicken often,
to speed up the
roasting process.
It's a fabulous technique. It works really well. We have a recipe for spatchcock turkey. It's on the New York Times website at nytimes.com/dining. You'll find it under Essential Thanksgiving. And what's so great about that method is it cooks in about half the time of, even more than half the time. It cooks in about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how big your bird is. So you get your oven for the rest of the day. That means you can bake your pies in the morning if you're organized enough to do that. It means you can bake biscuits. It means you can just have a lot more flexibility in the menu and not have the turkey in there the whole time.
Well, if you go to a butcher, should you ask the butcher to spatchcock it?
Yes, you should.
And where does the word spatchcock come from?
A great word. Spatchcocking is definitely, I love to say it because people look so confused when you say, but it just means butterflying the turkey. It means you cutting along the backbone. You don't even have to take the backbone out. You can just cut alongside, and then you open up the turkey so that it lies flat on your roasting pan. It cooks more quickly, and I think it cooks beautifully. I mean, you really do get, because the bird is right against the heat of the pan and it's not on a rack, you're getting a lot more heat on the bottom as well. You don't have that air circulating, and it cooks, the dark meat cooks really, really nicely. It cooks at the same time as the white meat. I find it's even more evenly cooked when you spatchcock it.
But if you have the butcher take it out, or if you take it out yourself, you should keep that backbone
because
you want to put it in a stock, don't you?
I just roast the backbone along with the bird because I like to gnaw on the juicy, fatty tail bit. So I never throw that out. But yes, you could put it in the stock pot if you don't want to be bothered.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll come back with more of your calls and questions to Melissa Clark in preparing for this coming Thursday's big event, the Thanksgiving dinner. And we have posted some of Melissa's recipes for butternut squash pie, for honey roasted delicata squash salad, and her basic pie crust. You can find a link to the New York Times Essential Thanksgiving Guide on our show page at WNYC.org. Stay with us for more. We are back with Melissa Clark, who is the writes a weekly column for the New York Times in the dining section, and also is the author of 30-something cookbooks. We are talking about Thanksgiving and preparing for Thanksgiving, and lots of people, surprise, surprise, have been calling in or writing us on our show page. Our phone number is 212-433-9692. Our show page is at WNYC.org. You can also write us on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Alice in Centerport writes, my mother-in-law handed off Thanksgiving this year. The crowd's huge, so I ordered a 25-pound organic heritage bird, and I'm beginning to think it will be safer, more succulent meat to make two 14-pound turkeys. Should the cooking time or temperature be adjusted if I make two turkeys in the same oven?
Absolutely. That's a great idea. I applaud that plan. I think two smaller turkeys is easier to deal with than one giant turkey.
Especially since you get four legs.
Exactly. And then you get four legs and four wings, and you get two tails and two necks, which I happen to love. But yes,
what is it with you and the necks?
I know. I love the necks because it has that particular kind of shredded meat. I just love it. It's almost like a brisket, except that it's a turkey. So this is what I would do. Yes, you will have to cook it longer because the two birds together will increase the cooking time. Don't change the oven temperature, though. And if you can fit two roasting pans, you'll have to fit two. Actually, two 14-pound birds are not going to fit into one roasting pan. So you're going to need to put two roasting pans next to each other. That might be tricky. That's the only thing. So before you do this, just make sure that your two roasting pans will fit in the oven. This is very important. If they won't, you might consider using a sheet pan, like a quarter sheet. Well, 14-pounder won't fit. So yes, you just have to make sure your oven is big enough to fit the two roasting pans and that you have two roasting pans that fit side by side.
Another listener asks, Mr. Taz on Twitter, can I make Thanksgivica latkes tomorrow and reheat them on Thursday?
Stir
in the refrigerator or the freezer?
You know, people have frozen latkes and they tell me they taste great, and I've never done it. So if you know that you are happy freezing latkes, then yes, go ahead and do that. Don't make them tomorrow and put them in the fridge until next Thursday. That's just too long ahead. Make them the day before. And then when you reheat them, this is important, reheat them not in an oven but under the broiler, because that way they'll get crispy again. So this is a good – anybody who wants to make latkes ahead, just – put them on a rack on top of a baking sheet and then put them in the oven, broil them on one side, then flip them, do on the other side. They'll be pretty crispy. It works pretty well. And especially on Thanksgiving, you're probably not going to want to fry latkes just at the last minute.
Well, what about the other dishes? Brisket instead of turkey? Latkes instead of mashed potatoes?
Yeah, no, I think latkes are a wonderful thing to have with your turkey. Why not? We're not going to do that. We're actually going to have Hanukkah starts on Wednesday night. The first day of Hanukkah is Thursday on Thanksgiving, but we're going to have Hanukkah on Wednesday night. Just latkes, just a really simple meal because we'll be getting ready for Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving, we're going to have Thanksgiving. But if you want to combine the two, another idea, which I think is a good idea, is think about a potato kugel instead of your mashed potatoes, because it's crunchy. You can get the top nice and crunchy like latkes, and it's like a dressing. You can serve it right at the table. That's something that works really well made ahead and reheated. So that's another idea. It's a little bit easier than latkes, and you get that same kind of flavor. Oh, and brisket, by the way, some people do two meats anyway. They do. They often do, when you're having a traditional Hanukkah meal, they'll often do a chicken and a brisket. So there's no reason not to do a brisket. You can make that the day before. You can make that over the weekend and then reheat it on Thanksgiving.
So brisket and turkey instead of brisket
and turkey. Yeah, exactly. That works well.
Well, some people have goose on Thanksgiving.
Really? On Thanksgiving?
Or is that Christmas? Okay.
I think that
anyway,
was Christmas.
Ken, I've never had goose on any of those holidays. Ken from Cleveland writes, I volunteered to make mashed potatoes this year for Thanksgiving at my mom's, but I'm extremely limited on time. Can I make them on Monday and reheat them on Turkey Day?
Not mashed potatoes. Mashed potatoes are – you can make a mashed potato casserole is what you can make. In fact, we have a recipe on the New York Times website for our essential Thanksgiving package. If you look up mashed potatoes, there is a make-ahead mashed potato casserole that you can make ahead. The problem with making regular mashed potatoes – ahead is that they, especially a few days ahead, is that they tend to get heavy. I would, at the very earliest, make them make them that morning. I wouldn't make them any earlier.
Marie has been washing turkeys for 30 years,
And
she's worried about your advice not to wash the turkey. Is it really okay, she asks.
It really is okay. I promise any bacteria that's on the turkey is going to get baked off, blot it dry. However, if you want to wash your turkey and you're more comfortable, you can do that. Just make sure that you clean up your sink area really well. And that really what you're worried about are those little splashes, because a turkey, when you're washing it in the sink, it's going to splash all over the counter. So just that's your area where you just have to make sure to clean it up very well. Use hot water on the sponge. But I promise, any bacteria will cook off while it's roasting, so you don't have to worry.
David from New Jersey says that frying turkey can be easy. You just need the right fryer. Of course, you got to buy a fryer.
You got to buy a fryer. You need to be outside. You need an outside place that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, a drain for oil, power plug. It's 20 by 18 by 15. It's a butterball turkey fryer, 3 to 4 minutes per pound.
That does it pretty quickly, I have to say. Really, I mean, who doesn't love deep fried poultry? So I'm sure it's one of those things that if you want to invest the time in it and you have the place and you have the equipment, it's a big treat.
What about the butterball? They're bred for the huge breasts.
I know.
But, and you find them in any store and they have those little pop-up things.
Those pop-up things are useless. If you get a turkey with a pop-up thing, just pull that pop-up thing out of your turkey and throw it away. It's not going to help you. It is the only time it'll pop up is if the breast is so overdone. Do not trust it. Use your thermometer and take that turkey's temperature. That's how you know it's done.
A caller. Let's take this call. Okay. We'll find out from the caller herself. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, himself. Athenis, is it your name?
Athenis, yeah.
Athenis, hi.
I cook all my fowl breast down, and I get great results. I've encouraged people to do their turkeys that way, and they come back and tell me, my God, it was the best white meat they have ever had.
You cook them upside down? But you don't get a crispy skin that way.
That's correct. We get it elsewhere, but a lot of people today, because of the fat, you know, they don't want to eat the skin. I mean, I love it. I love the skin, but I sacrifice it so people will have moist, dark meat, white meat. You could, of course, flip it at the end, you know, when it's done and try to crisp it up, maybe on broil for a short time. But I get great results that way. I usually have them sit on top of a bed of vegetables like parsnip, onion, and carrot. And some celery, and the results are great, and everyone tells me they're extremely happy. So I do that with my chickens as well.
That's actually a really good technique. I do that with chickens sometimes too. And what's so great about that, especially you just mentioned that you cook it on a bed of vegetables. So the vegetables are insulating the turkey. They are keeping the breast nice, and there's some steam coming up from them. So they're flavoring the meat, and they're keeping the moisture in. That is a very good technique. I mean, what you don't get is that gorgeous photo-ready moment, but what you do probably get, from what it sounds like, is very delicious turkey breast. So I would say anybody willing to try that will probably get a great turkey. I know it works with chicken. I've done it.
Thank you so much for your call. I'm talking with Melissa Clark of the New York Times and of the 30-plus cookbooks. And we
I can't
are taking
wait to hit 40 just to, like, knock it over the
How
edge.
How close are you?
I'm getting there.
Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is @LeonardLopate. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. And Carolyn from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Do you have any – I'm starving listening to the show. Do you have any advice on grilling a turkey? We really would like to do that, both in service of freeing up the oven and also maybe having a great barbecued turkey.
Aren't you worried about the weather?
You know, I am, but I believe that you're supposed to make an adjustment for it, but I don't know what that is. And I don't know if you would actually change the timing per pound of the turkey on, you know, length of time. I mean, I guess we could look at it with the thermometer over time, but it makes it a little hard to time the day.
Right. You know, I would spatchcock it first. I would have the butcher take out the backbone and butterfly that turkey, because it's going to be a lot easier to grill. It's going to cook more quickly. And then another thing is that, actually, you know, even better, if you don't mind cutting the turkey, you could actually cut it into two halves. Your butcher cut it into two halves. So you butterfly it first, and then you cut through the breastbone, and then you're going to have these two halves. That is going to be so much easier to maneuver. You're going to have flexibility on the grill. You'll be able to move it around. The thing about grilling a turkey is you want to do it over indirect heat. Otherwise, it's
yes.
So just make sure that your grill is big enough to accommodate your turkey over indirect heat. And just keep the flames low. Just keep checking on it. Does it have a thermometer to gauge the temperature of the grill itself? Some fancy grills have that.
That I don't.
Okay. So,
but I do have an awesome meat thermometer, which But yeah, I actually, I guess there's, I'm not sure if I can trust the temperature gauge that's there's a temperature gauge on the barbecue itself, but I'm not sure if I can trust it.
Right.
So just would you suggest sort of a freestanding thermometer, something to put inside the grill with the turkey?
Yeah, you know, if you have a little rack on top, you know, some grills have two racks, one that's lifted up above, a kind of indirect on the back. Just get an oven thermometer and put that right there. And just keep watching it, keep checking it, but it should work really well.
Veronica from Great Neck left this question on our show page. I have a friend attending this year who can't eat gluten. What can I substitute for the flour when making the gravy? I remember from our conversation last month about squash that you or a caller suggested using butternut squash to thicken gravy.
Oh, yes, that was a great idea. You know, I meant to test that out, and I didn't. But I think that's an excellent idea. You could just stir a little bit of butter and squash puree right in at the end, and then just simmer the gravy down. That should thicken it nicely. But another idea is cornstarch. Don't forget, cornstarch is gluten-free, so you will be fine using that as well.
Kate in Verona writes, I make Melissa's butternut squash pie every year, but I can't find the peeling and dicing of the butternut squash time, but I find it time-consuming. Is there any reason that I cannot just roast the squash face down with the skin on until the flesh is soft and then scoop it out and puree it?
You can absolutely do that. Roast it face up, not face down. You want to cook off some of that moisture. The advantage to peeling and cubing it and roasting it in pieces is that you cook off more of the moisture. And less moisture that's in your squash puree means you can put more cream in it and it'll be a little bit richer. So but you can absolutely have it face up, a little bit of butter on the top, roast it until it's tender, scoop it out, put it in the food processor. If you find that it's very moist, you can also drain it. Just put it in a coffee filter or just a sieve lined with a little cheesecloth and let it drain for a couple of hours. A lot of the moisture will come out.
And we have posted Melissa's recipes for butternut squash pie, also honey-roasted delicata squash salad, and her basic pie crust. You can find a link to the New York Times Essential Thanksgiving Guide on our show page at WNYC.org. Another listener writes in, Duval from Glen Ridge, I just made Melissa's simple roast turkey yesterday. Fantastic technique and taste. Question, I roasted the neck. Now what do I do with it?
Eat it or send it to me. I'll eat it. Or you can use it for stock. It's great in stock. If you're going to use, it sounds like you might be making this ahead, so you get some nice, rich turkey stock. Just throw it right in the stock pot. It's fabulous.
Peter from Park Slope. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was calling to say that one really great make-ahead is turkey gravy. If you get, say, six drumsticks or three thighs and cover them pretty liberally with butter and roast them for, like, 3 hours in a slow oven, like 300, 325, and then make a stock with it, and then put it in the fridge. You can reserve the fat, reduce the stock to maybe 4 cups, and then make a roux with the turkey fat and some flour and add in that reduced stock, and it makes a great gravy. It freezes brilliantly, and it's just like one last thing to think about. I also want to ask a quick question, whether Ms. Clark had ever made a Thompson turkey.
No, I have not made a Thompson turkey. I've made different is that a heritage breed?
No, it's this one that you make a paste out of like 20 herbs and coat it in this paste and go through these elaborate exercises, and I guess it comes out looking horrible and blackened, and then you crack open the shell to reveal this beautiful bronzed bird.
It's something
really
I will research for next year.
It sounds like, since turkey can be pretty terrific without doing all that work, sometimes I wonder why make it more complicated than you have to.
Well, I mean, but then again, I'm always striving for the better bird, the best bird. I'm going to look up that technique. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. And about the gravy, that is a great idea. Turkey gravy is great to make ahead. You can do the same technique with chicken bones as well, chicken wings, if you don't have – sometimes it can be hard to buy turkey pieces. But browning the bones and making those brown bones into a stock, which you then use for a gravy, is a fantastic technique.
Now, should you try a new recipe when you're making Thanksgiving dinner? Many people are reluctant to do something new because you're not sure how it's going to turn out.
Well, I think it depends on your personality. If you're the kind of person who gets excited and loves to try new things and doesn't mind taking a risk that it might not turn out perfectly, and that's the kind of person I am, absolutely go for it. You know, Everyone will be so happy that you're enjoying yourself and you're cooking something you love. However, if it's going to stress you out, then absolutely not. Thanksgiving should be about being with the people you love, eating the food that you love, and being as well. I mean, it is a stressful holiday, certainly for people to cook for. So take the stress down.
Well, one of the stressful things is you ask other people to bring some things, and they bring a sweet potato pie with a lot of marshmallows in it. And you can't say, I don't like that idea. Alan asks, where is the best place in the turkey to put the thermometer? He has a probe.
Yes. Okay. I like it. There's this big debate over exactly what is the thickest part of the thigh. And when you research this, you find out that different people think the thickest part of the thigh is in different places in the thigh. So I always take the temperature in several spots in the thigh, and I go with the lowest temperature. So if the lowest temperature is under 165, I just keep cooking it until that low spot gets to 165. Important, when you're taking the temperature of the turkey, you don't want to hit a bone, because you want to be taking the temperature of just the meat. So wiggle it around a little bit, and you're looking for an area where there's no bone. It's not too close to the surface of the skin of the turkey and not too close to the bone. And then that's a good spot in the thigh.
I'm assuming that you make the stuffing out of the bird.
I do.
Can you make that far in advance?
The stuffing, it's better not to. You want to make the stuffing. What you can do ahead is you can toast the bread and get that all ready. You can saute your aromatics, your leeks and your celery, and maybe if you're having chestnuts, you can peel those and roast them. Don't combine everything until right before you stuff it, either if you're going to stuff the bird or put it into your casserole dish. You're really better off bringing those things together at the last minute.
Thank you so much for being on our show again. Melissa Clark, The New York Times. It's always a pleasure having you here. And
great to
we
be
couldn't
here.
Get to everything, but we only have so much time.
Next year.
In fact, we have 6 more days until Thanksgiving.
I'm starting to panic.